throughout our community. The moment the covenant people of God begin to believe that they can be restored and recover, the moment that the people of God begin to believe that their family and their community, their culture, and their nation can be recovered and rebuilt, I tell you, that moment the enemies of God are going to rise up and fight against it. There is a devil that says, no. From here to heaven, it is never going to be a stroll in the park to have God's best and to live the dream that God has established for us. And it's never going to be a cakewalk to be the light of the world to the desperately needy, dark world. It's not going to be easy to spread that light of truth and love and dispel the darkness, because the devil is going to fight us every step of the way. Now, there are three enemies that conspired against the plan to build Jerusalem: Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. The Bible says that they were deeply disturbed. And it says someone who sought the well-being of Jerusalem really agitated them. They did not like that. Now, I imagine the devil looks at me and Sarah and Pastor Ben and Petraea and many of us who are in this room tonight, and he is deeply disturbed. Why? Because we're not only seeking the shalom, as in Jerusalem, the shalom for our lives and our families, we are also seeking it for our community. We're seeking it for others, even others around the world. Come on, church. We are people of faith. We are serving a God of the impossible, a God of new life, a God who sacrificed His own Son for the very best of us and the very worst of us. We believe in life. We believe a community, a nation, a generation can be revived and restored and rebuilt. And if you've been on the fence on that part, I'm just here to encourage you. Because I know when we look at what's going on around us, sometimes we think, oop, it's just going downhill fast and picking up steam. And I don't know what other than just to hang on and wait till Jesus comes. Well, that's not my message tonight. I tell you, we can have a great life and we can have blessings and we can have peace and we can have victory in this life and we can snatch others as if from the fire. Come on, this is what we're all about. I tell you, that kind of thinking bothers the devil. He's getting agitated. And if it's stirring a little something up in you, he's getting even more agitated tonight. Good. I say good. The enemies of Nehemiah's project first began to mock the whole idea. But Nehemiah answered. Here in Nehemiah 2, verse 20, he said, "So I answered them and said to them, 'The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem.'" Good word. And Nehemiah, he started the work. But it did not go unnoticed. Or did I say that right? They knew it. How about that? He was known by his enemies. Nehemiah 4:1. "But it so happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews." And then also chapter 6, verse 1, starts out kind of the same way. "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the Arab," this is what we read earlier, "heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, they got angry." See, as we fortify our faith, that's what those walls represent. As we fortify our faith, the devil becomes desperate. The thief comes to what? That's right. But the walls of faith will shut them out. The walls of... We can build a spiritual fortress. A stronghold of faith that will keep the devil out. Now it seems, for as long as I have been around this area, people have viewed this area as a stronghold of religion. Anybody hear that phrase thrown around? Stronghold of religion? How about we build a stronghold of faith? How about we make this a stronghold of faith? How about when people begin to visit from outside this area, they start to think, hey, that's becoming a stronghold of faith. It doesn't have to be in Tulsa. This should be a stronghold of faith. Somebody's got to build the walls. Who's going to do that? How about we do it? Back to verse 2 here in Nehemiah chapter 6. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. I tell you, the devil's plan is to stop us from our work, to get us to the valley of Ono. See, we begin to believe, we begin to build and recover and restore. We begin to see victory as a possibility. I mean, our hearts start to get really encouraged and charged up. We begin to think that we can be blessed and that we can have health and that we can prosper in a way that we can bless others, that we can be a light to others. And then, oh no, thoughts begin to enter our mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You kind of get excited about the things of God, and then things just don't quite go the way you think, and discouragement sets in, and the enemy is just happy to stand over your shoulder and go, see, I told you. Shouldn't have been doing that. The devil's plan is to stop us. Adversaries begin to appear on the horizon when we really get busy. Opposition pops up on our path to victory, and all of a sudden we are dealing with a lot of those oh no's. Oh no. Oh no, COVID. Well, we can't keep doing the work of Jesus when COVID's out there like this. They won't let us, for one. They want to stop us anyway. This is a good excuse for them. Oh no, oh no. The culture. Have you seen the culture? It's not going our way. Oh no, the school system. They're fighting against us tooth and nail. Oh no, the government. We could just keep adding to this list. Oh no, inflation. Yeah, anybody else got an oh no out there? I mean, there's just, oh no, there's all kinds of oh no's if that's what you're listening for and what you're going to pay attention to. Sometimes, you know, I don't want to just be flippant about this. Sometimes there is real opposition. Sometimes it's just a thought in our minds. Sometimes it's just fear. If we're going to build our Jerusalem, if we are going to have a stronghold of faith, we're going to have to deal with the oh no's. Because the devil's going to bring it into our life. He's going to try to get us to camp with him in the valley of Ono, just like they were trying to get Nehemiah to come down. See, if you leave Jerusalem and you go to Ono, you will be harmed by a negative spirit. I tell you, the spirit of faith is my most precious possession. If you have faith, what could be the problem? I mean, I know we know that on the inside, and sometimes it has a hard time sinking in. We know that if we have faith, what could be the problem? All things are possible for them who believe. So what is it you need? You need faith. You need a word from God. See, that's where faith comes from. It's based on the word. The devil knows the power of faith, so he wants to get us into the valley of Ono, to distract us from our mission, to harm us. He wants to start putting a negative spirit in us and start telling us that it isn't going to work. Something you should know before you step out in faith. When you attempt to do something great for God, there will be more people who speak against it than those who encourage it. I don't know why that is. Ought not be, but that's what happens. And before it's all over, half of the ones who were encouraging you are going to end up in the oh-no camp. And again, it's just the way it works. But for people of faith, that's a minor thing. That's a minor thing. There will be plenty of people who will be willing to tell us why it won't work. And because the devil is attempting to do us harm, some people fall for it. But by the spirit of faith, again, a prized possession we need to hold strong to. By the spirit of faith, we can guard our heart. And we need to guard our heart with all diligence. See, there are some people you probably should just not hang around with. There are some people that have a strong personality, and their personality can influence you. And if it's not a personality that is based on faith, well, they'll influence you to the negative side. I've often said, don't walk away from those people who are negative. Run! Get away from them. You got to be around people of faith, right? The people who think by faith that you can do it. Those are the people we need to hang out with. Don't hang around the cynical people, the backbiters, the ones who grumble about their leaders. They're just going to sow negative seed. And that can begin to grow in your heart if you're not being diligent to guard your heart. Don't hang out with those folks in the valley of Ono. See, in your personal life and on a larger scale, because I am talking about not just us, but the community and the nation around us, you have to make sure that you separate yourself from the negative influencers. And again, on a larger scale, we're talking about a lot of news outlets. We're talking about a lot of things that just scroll by your screen and social media. Sometimes I'm just amazed. Well, don't get me on that soapbox. We won't get out of here in time for anything tonight. So in your personal life, be careful who you hang out with. And I don't just mean the person that's in this building with you right now. Be careful about who you hang out with when you're not around faith people. They will have an effect on you if you don't guard your heart. Well, back to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3 this time. So they wanted to get Nehemiah into the plain of Ono, and he sent them a message. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Notice he emphasizes to go there is going down. To get to the valley of Ono is going down. It is not maintaining his position in Jerusalem. Refuse to leave the high place of Shalom and go down to the valley of Ono and listen to the lies of the devil. To listen to the discouragement of those who have no faith. We're called to live in a high place, right? Jerusalem was a high place. Jerusalem means the place of Shalom. Shalom is that wonderful Hebrew word that means health and prosperity and peace. God has called us to live in that high place, the high place of Shalom. To live in the place of health, prosperity, and peace, to build a fortress there with strong walls of faith to keep the enemy out. Now, the enemy is going to try and entice all of us, to come down to his level. Not going to do it. Just not going to do it. Go back to chapter 6, but verse 4. But they sent me this message four times, so I answered them in the same manner. They didn't just ask him to come down once. They did it again, and they did it again, And they did it again, and they did it again. And Nehemiah held fast to his faith and stayed on the upper level of shalom. And we need to hold fast to our confession of faith and answer the devil the same way every time. Don't let him wear you down. You don't have to come up, by the way, with some new phrase or some new plan, some new strategy. You just hang on to the word that God gave you. You just hang on to the faith that you already have. And you just keep beating the devil's brains out with what God has already spoken and promised to you. Not going to do it. You don't have to be clever. Just answer him with the same word that you have been standing in faith upon. Hallelujah. Don't change it. Just keep telling him again and again. Bruise his head with it some more. He deserves it. Don't feel sorry for him. Now, if you don't have a word, if you don't have that promise and that hope that we hang on to by faith, well, then you need to get one. Where do you get it? From the word. Faith comes by hearing, right? Or is it this, faith comes by hearing and by the idea that just popped into your brain? No, it's not your idea. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Without a word, we're just kind of a wishing. We're not really focused in on faith without having that word of God. We need to have faith, and faith comes from the word. And once we have the word, then we need to move on it and not move off of it. Did you get that? There's action that has to take place. Just having an understanding of the word, having a vision, having a promise is of little value if you are not moving in faith for that. So move on it and don't move off of it, if that makes sense. I think you know what I mean. See, the devil wants a shot at influencing our faith by preaching a sermon to us. That's what they wanted to get Nehemiah down into the valley of Ono for. The devil's going to continue to try and get us down to his level. We've got to be more stubborn than he is. So let's agree together. You and I, and me and them. Let's agree together that we are going to stand firm on our faith. We are going to hold fast to what God has promised. We are going to continue to move toward the vision that he has given us for this church and for this community, for our families, for our nation. Again, we don't have to argue with the devil. He'll try and drag you into a debate, try and give you some reasoning, and you'll wander back and forth. You know, that's being tossed to and fro by every wave. No, you're just going to hold on by faith. I mean, we'll think, okay, we've got this. We're going to take this city by storm. And the devil will say, yeah, but did you see what's going on in California? You know, it won't be long. That'll be happening here. And he'll try to get you worried about all of that instead of just continuing to focus on the work that we know that we have to do. I tell you, we don't have to argue with him. We don't have to be intellectual or philosophical. We just say, our trust is in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord, and just refuse to discuss anything else. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He is a faithful God. I'm holding on to that. No matter how many times he entices us to come down from our shalom to the valley of Ono, we're just going to hit him again with the word. Moving on to verse 5. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the fifth time. He's not giving up. The fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations that Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come therefore and let us consult together. In other words, come on down to the valley of Ono. Then I sent to him saying, no such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. As we are blessed with success, the devil will try to bring condemnation into our heart. First, he starts out by saying, well, you can't do that. No, it's not going to work. You can't accomplish what you think you might be able to. But then you start doing it. So then he says, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Your heart isn't pure. The devil will tell you that. He'll try and implant those ideas. And he'll tell you why it can't work. See, because you're just doing it for your own glory. You're just doing it for yourself. You're not really... I got to move on. We have to put the principles of faith to work. And when we start doing it, and the devil says, you should be ashamed of yourself for not loving the way the world thinks that you ought to love others. You should be ashamed of yourself for not fitting in with the culture. You should be ashamed of yourself because you're just different. If you were really spiritual, you'd embrace our ideas and you would applaud our actions. You would be all for us. No. We are called to be light, to reach the lost, to save souls, to restore lives. And as we do, I tell you, the devil is going to try to condemn our hearts, but it's all invented, just been made up. And he'll lie, and he'll use other lies. The question is this: can we handle the persecution that comes with our calling? Well, now that's a big question. You need to think about that. We all talk a big talk. Yeah, we want to save souls. We want to see this community changed. We want to see the nation changed. We want to restore the culture. We want to fight whatever it is that we need to fight because there's plenty of it out there. I don't have a time to give you a whole list. We're going to stand for that. But the question is, do we have the ability to handle the persecution that comes with that calling? There is a persecution that comes with being called. I'm not going to take you to the scriptures, but Jesus talked about it all the time. Persecution will come. It's just the way it is. Pity you get for free, but envy you have to earn. If you want others to say, wow, I wish I had that strength, you've got to earn it. Back to Nehemiah. Verse 9. For they were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Tried to make us afraid. Tried to weaken us. Tried to convince us that it couldn't be done. The spirit of fear is a weapon that the devil uses to get us out of faith. See, because faith equals strength. Romans 4:20 says, Abraham was strengthened in faith. Acts 16:5 says the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. The Bible also says in Proverbs 24:10, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Are we living in a day of adversity? Oh, yeah. We are living in a day of adversity. If we fail now, it just proves our strength was small. Now, the opposite of faith is fear. The Holy Spirit wants us to develop our faith. That unholy spirit wants to develop and capitalize on our fears. Stay away from the things that instill fear. Just avoid those things that get you worried. Doesn't pay. Spend your time thinking about God and His blessings and His grace and His peace and His mercy to us and others. Wrapping it up here. Verse 10. Afterward, I came to the house of... I'm not even going to try and mention these names. I get all tongue-tied when I tried to do it just in my reviewing my notes. But anyway, the house of these guys, who was a secret informer. And he said, I might have tried it earlier, but I'm wearing down. Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And as I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. See, they're trying to scare him. Trying to use fear, trying to intimidate. Stand your ground and refuse to flee from the devil. He's going to lie to you. He's going to get you worried about things that just are made up. We need to flee from the lies of the devil. Should such a man as I flee, not from the work, not from the promise, not from faith. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You've got to do and know who you are. Verse 12. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all. He recognized the lies, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Beware of prophets for hire. So I'll just leave that line there. Beware of prophets. When we make a fear-based decision, we make a decision that's going to lead us out of the will of God. Man, the worst time to make a decision is when everything is up in the air. You want to let things settle down. You want God to be able to speak to you, and you want to have the ability to be able to discern His word as opposed to the enemy's lies. The Bible says the just live by faith. I vote we do. What do you say? Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not from faith is sin. You know, the thing about this message, I started this last week, and I was just blessed by the news this morning of how the election turned out in Virginia. Now, I'm not all that politically crazy one way or the other. At least I don't think I am, but maybe others do. I'm not preaching this from a political standpoint, but what I want you to see, the encouragement to me is that even in a state that would vote entirely differently in the past, all of a sudden is having their values come out, because it's now becoming an issue. And what it tells me is that people still have basic values. And we can work with that. The world has not totally gone to heck in a handbasket. All right? So when we start thinking that the culture is just lost, there's nothing else we can do but just, you know, try and save the few that we can here and there, I tell you, we need to raise our standard a little bit, raise our expectations for what God can do when godly people follow after Him and do the work that He has given us to do. We think it's so hard to reach people these days because of the culture. And I tell you, the culture is weird, but for the most part, you hear what the loud people say. There's a whole sub-level of our culture that has not totally given themselves over to all of that goofy stuff that everybody else is trying to push on us. So I'm saying to you, when we talk about rebuilding and revitalizing not just our own little group here, but our community and our nation, have courage. I think we just got a little view that when people are really pressed, on the issues that are important to them, there's still a lot that we have to work with. Finish up with Nehemiah 6:14 through 16. Nehemiah praying, "My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid." So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things that they were very disheartened in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was done by our God. Amen. I say let's hold to our faith. Let's not let the devil lie to us. Let us not go off the deep end and just, you know, decide to hunker down until Jesus returns. Let's get to doing the work that we have to do, knowing that He will provide what's needed. He will strengthen us as we come to Him in faith. He will give us success. He will give us victory. And there is nothing out there that the devil or the culture or the government or the school system or COVID can do to us that will stop this if we will stand in faith. Let's not go down into the valley of oh no. Let's stay up on the mountain with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Thank you, Lord, for instilling in us a desire for the thing that is most important to your heart, the salvation of souls, the restoration of lives. Lord, help us to take up the mantle that you have placed upon the Church of Jesus Christ in these last days. Let us stand firm. Let us not fall to fear. Continue to strengthen and show us opportunities for victory, opportunities for witnessing, opportunities for change toward a godly society. Lord, I am trusting in you. I have no other hope for this nation or even this community. I have no other hope outside of you and the work that you're doing through your body on the earth today. And I want to be a part of it. In Jesus' name I say, Lord God, help us. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. You guys are very quiet through most of that. But if you need prayer tonight, we are here as people of faith. Amen. Not oh no, amen. We are people of faith and we would be happy to pray for you. Otherwise,
oh, bless His name.